Hey, everybody, it's Wednesday, and that means it's Marvel time. Another episode of Moon Knight. Got a little glimpse and some hints last week. This week, we get a little more information. We find out for sure that he's not a chivalrous medieval gentleman with a propensity for exposing his bottom to people. So whoever had that theory, you were wrong. Let's chat, shall we? We are here in the shawarma shack. You can hear everybody's eating, enjoying their meals here. We are here for another Wednesday Marvel Cinematic Universe recap of the day. Another episode of Moon Knight, episode 2. A lot of stuff happened tonight. It was kind of fun and exciting. And we're going to jump right into it. First with Utah. Utah is here. Hello, sir.
Hey, greetings, programs.
Enjoying some Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Having some KFC beverage. Oh, actually, this is Pepsi. They don't have Pepsi products.
So all right.
Pepsi for my KFC. And I'm reading Werewolf by Night, number 33.
Oh, there you are. Very cool. All right. Along with us.
Keep it quiet back there.
I know, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, they listen to you. Look at that. We also have Aaliyah back this week. Hey.
Hi. Hey, girl. I am waving. I am waving.
So glad you could be back. We appreciate it.
Yes. Glad to be back.
And here's Tommy D from Circle of Nerds. Welcome, sir.
Hey, howdy, nerds. How's it going?
What? All right.
Mr. Welcome. D.
And also from her phone, we have Mando Girl, Jamie.
There she is.
Finally, another female.
TikTok famous. Yeah. Yes. Yes, we've got some various diverse group here tonight.
This week, right?
Yeah, we're trying.
Last week, it was really smelling like dude in here. So.
It sure was. Yeah. Sure. Thank you guys for being here. Because it's
reeking of testosterone.
Well, we're nerds.
It's all relative, right?
Yeah. It just smelled a lot like dude. That's all. Oh. Dude.
Well, guys.
Smell like an old gym locker.
I loved, since we didn't have Aaliyah and Jamie here last week, would like to really just kind of start off really quick with just. We'll start with you, Jamie. Your first impressions of last week's episode. So first impressions of episode one, just kind of like, where are you?
It was slow going at first. If you ask me, I don't know much of the backstory. I had to look into it. So I'm fairly new to the Moon Knight series and the whole story with it. I'm not really... impressed as of right now with I'm trying to remember his name right now.
Mr. Isaac?
Yeah.
Poe Dameron. That's our Poe.
The whole museum keeper was just a total snore for me. The curator.
That's fair.
But this episode so far, it got my interest a lot more. So.
All right. Aaliyah, what were your first impressions?
So I am very similar to Jamie in the sense that I don't really know too much about Moon Knight or his backstory or anything along those lines. But I did get hip to Moon Knight when I watched, I think it was The Amazing Spider-Man. And that was like my very first glimpse of him in the animated series. And I loved it. Like, I was super stoked for this. But then once I watched the very first episode, I got annoyed. Okay. I got annoyed, but this episode, like Jamie said, seems very promising. So we'll see.
That's fair. They did do a lot of setup and we didn't even get to see Moon Knight until like a glimpse at the very end. Right. So a lot of people, I think, were disappointed. They kind of wanted more of that, but it's a slow burn. They're trying to get us interested. But yeah, this week definitely ratcheted up the action a lot more. There was a lot more of that in this episode. So we also met a couple of new characters. We finally get to see Carla, who was on his phone. Layla. Carla. What am I doing? I'm sorry. I've been mixing up names all day today. I know, right? Great job. It's been a day, man. I'm calling people named Mary, Nancy for some reason. I don't know what's happening.
Welcome to the Shawarma Shack where we discuss reruns of Cheers.
There you go. Carla and Cliff and Norm.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Hey, it's a little known fact that the lady's name is actually Layla Dan. That's actually her name. Okay.
that was a little too good there, Tommy D. That was awesome.
Thanks, Cliff.
Yeah. Hey, no problem. Layla. Oh my gosh. It's been a day. So let's jump right in. Let's go back and start with you, Jamie. So last week was a little bit of a snore. Tell us what you liked about this episode.
Definitely the action. It gives a little bit more of the backstory, how he becomes, I guess, possessed, the deal, and the reasoning for it a little bit more. And obviously we get to see the main squeeze, Layla, and kind of get a better idea about his psychosis, why he keeps on having multiple personalities. I am very much into the Egyptian gods, goddesses, the whole history with it. And so I know we had a glimpse of it, but the very much Anubis creature that is chasing him and everything like that, it's really good to see an actual fight with that creature. So I like it.
Not just the end of the beatdown like we got last week. We got to see him kind of lay the final blow, but we didn't get to see the fight. This week, all over the place, fighting.
And I'm glad we got to see it because, you know, a lot of people
in the street didn't see it.
Very true.
I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah, it's like nobody else can see this except for him.
But he was a fancy drunk.
That's right. Aaliyah, did today's episode change things for you?
Yeah. I feel bad for the guy because he's literally living this whole life. He has lived his entire life not knowing why things are unaccounted for, and like he was saying, it's like, I can't even get a girlfriend. Like, I can't live my life because there's a part of me that I know nothing about or understand why. And I guess that's probably why I got a little annoyed in the first episode, because there wasn't really that backstory, you know, it kind of hinted at it, but if you don't know about Moon Knight, or if you weren't familiar with Moon Knight previously, and then you're just starting on this, you want that background because you're just kind of like anticipating something, but you don't know what it is. And maybe that's just what they're doing. Maybe they're just trying to establish that emotional context, you know, generating that emotional side for him, I guess. And when you have me on the big screen like that, I'm trying really hard not to stare at myself. Like, so much pressure.
I do. I think you're right about this. We talked a little bit last week about how this is kind of the first real origin story being told in a series format. You know, I mean, we did get kind of Kate Bishop's origin in a way in Hawkeye, but technically that was his show, and some other, you know, people get introduced, but this is like, you know, normally we would see this movie and we would get all this stuff in, you know, in an hour and a half, 2 hour movie. They're spreading it out over six episodes. It's a little bit different, and just revealing a little bit each episode. What did you think about what was revealed this week, Tommy? Tom's not here. Tommy is.
Yeah, I don't know where Tom is. That guy. What a jerk.
Driving all over the place.
Oscar is a treasure. He is a treasure.
Here, here.
I am very quickly falling in love with Steven. Hiya.
Hello. Steven with a V.
I don't know.
How did you guys like his little song?
You know, I mean, he's amazing. I just, you know, and when he summoned the suit, oh, this is dapper. I like this. This is kind
of dapper. Right?
I love. He summoned his definition of the suit, which I thought was great.
I thought that was great. It was
Psycho Colonel Sanders. Psycho Colonel Sanders.
And it's just, you know, and I like that because it's showing the, you know, their personalities, you know? I mean, it's, you know, Mark, hardcore, badass mercenary. So he's going to come out with, like, you know, the ceremonial with the hood and the cape. He's like, which is still
badass.
It is so badass. And then Steven, hiya, okay, we're going to go ahead, you know.
I'm Psycho Colonel Sanders. Would like some chicken?
Put them up.
So Utah, did you purposely go get some KFC for this episode? I just have to ask that.
Maybe.
So let's talk about Steven for a minute, because I think this we need to hello. Obviously, Jamie feels pretty strongly that he's kind of a wet blanket. Is that what you said?
Yeah, he's a wet blanket. He's that friend that can never have any fun that you always have to sit there and babysit. That's how I feel.
I just want to be part of the fun. That's all. Don't mind me. I'm okay.
He's a wallflower, you know.
Please, sir, can I have some more?
Yeah.
Can I have some more, sir?
Oh, you sound like Dobby.
Dobby is free.
Master gave Dobby a sock.
Master gave Dobby some KFC. Dobby is free.
I don't know. Utah, do you feel the same way? Or what do you like about Steven? Why is he appealing to you?
Never said that. I think he's a jerk. Well, I love the fact that we're kind of thrown into this story of Moon Knight, not from the main character's point of view, because I feel like Mark Spector is the main character. He's the person that was saved by Khonshu and became Khonshu's avatar. And somehow Steven, the other personality, we're entering this story from his perspective. And so we're just as thrown aback by all these things as much as Steven is. I do love the contrast between Steven and Mark. Because in the comic books, there wasn't much of a contrast. In the comic books, Steven was basically Bruce Wayne in the Marvel universe. He was a rich playboy who, you know, financed and supported all of Moon Knight's fun adventures in vengeancing, I guess. Is that a word? Vengeancing?
It is.
Is that what you were looking for, Jamie? A rich playboy, Steven, instead of a milquetoast museum shop?
Instead of idiot shop.
What do you say? Shopkeeper. I'm a shoppist? Or, no, what
shoppist,
do you call him?
Shopkeeper? Shoppist?
I'm a gift shoppist. I'm just a gift shoppist.
No. My name's not Scotty. It's Steven. It's Steve. Still Steven, I mean, by the way.
The only plus side to that is that the connection with the historical value of why he's researching, you know, the Egyptian background. But other than that, there's no value besides a polar opposite of Mark.
But look at it. Like if we look at mostly Marvel does this a lot. When we look at our heroes, look at, you know, Peter Parker, you know, it's, you know, Steve Rogers, you know, these were, you know, the wallflowers. They were these meek, weak, you know, they got bullied, you know, but they had that strength of character that allowed them to persevere and wear the mantles of the heroes that they would later become. But Marvel really does that heavy. DC, not so much, but even the Hulk. Hulk's got Bruce Banner, you know, so there's always the alter ego for Marvel is usually the meek, timid, you know, that guy, you know. And then they embrace the badass persona. And I think it makes them more relatable. Like I can't relate to Bruce Wayne. You know what I mean? I mean, he's still, even without Batman, Bruce Wayne is still a badass, and I could never aspire to be like him, you know, but I can relate to Peter Parker. I was Peter Parker, just not as smart or charming or talented, but I got bullied. So there's that. But, you know, so I think that's what they're doing. And sometimes,
but it's away from the original storyline, though, too.
Yeah, and see, yeah, I don't know anything. I don't know anything about the original Moon Knight storyline. So this, for me, this is all fresh, and I'm just seeing a lot of these standard Marvel tropes being thrown out there. You know, him missing the bus, Peter Parker missed the bus, you know, him not getting the girl because somebody else got the girl. You know, there's all these things, you know, and it's pretty standard stuff, you know, but I think that so far the execution's pretty good, but you know, but yeah, I get it. It's like, you know, this guy is just, you know, like, meh. You know, he's just,
yeah, it's very,
but the part,
go ahead, Aaliyah.
The part that is still very vague to me is like the chicken and the egg, which came first. Like, is it Mark? Is it Steven? Yep. Which one came first? I'm who knows?
Positive they're doing that on purpose.
Yeah. I think it was Mark.
I mean, Mark, cause in when Mark explained it basically in that storage unit, which we called, so yeah, kudos to us. You know, he explained, look, okay, so Khonshu saved us and now we're in his servitude and that's our cost for Khonshu saving us.
Yeah.
Layla
said, you know, she was like, what's with that accent? You know, she didn't say what's with this face, what's with this body, what's with, you know, she saw him, she saw Mark, you know, she saw Mark. And it's like, what's with this whole, you know, is this your new like undercover persona? So that makes me wonder, you know, Steven, does he even exist in reality? You know, the body that we see, that's Mark. 100%. That's Mark. So who is Steven? Is he part of the personality? Is he a deep cover that, you know, just kind of got locked in once Mark went under? I don't know. I
think episode 4, we'll find out. Well, not the next one.
No. Going back to Jamie's point about it, it is definitely a departure from the comics. I mean, obviously the comics have retconned themselves. Initially, it was not dissociative identity disorder. He just acted like these people. Those were his covers. Yeah. And then later they worked it into a mental illness because they could tell more compelling stories, and they had done that. And in this one, I think the reason they went so far, right, from that Bruce Wayne image is because people keep saying it's a Bruce Wayne image. You know what I mean? Like it was criticized a lot in the comics that this is just another Bruce Wayne. Batman. Moon Knight is another Batman. That he's even got Moonerangs. I think we called him last week. whatever those are, like everything about him, like screams Batman, especially this rich guy, right? This rich suave dude. And I feel like, you know, with Marvel and DC battling for everyone's attention, even more so now, because it's in the zeitgeist, right? It's not just comic fans at home buying comics. This is moviegoers and other, you know, families and new people are coming into
subscribers.
And they don't want those people going, oh great, another Batman. You know what I mean? So I think that's maybe why they decided to just really just do something different. It's a little jarring if you've been following the originals, because he's a polar opposite of what you might expect of the Steven in the comic and obviously Mark.
Right. Now that does beg the question, because in the comics he had at least one more identity.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Jake, the taxi
cab. And then he also had a girl, like a little girl, according to what I read. A little girl personality.
I never got to that. I think that was an interesting storyline where I think
it was his innocence or something like that.
Yeah, but I feel like at one point he got reset. But anyways,
what really reminded me, and this is going to throw left field, like away from like DC and everything like that, it really reminded me of the Moonlight Knight off of Sailor Moon. When I'm going total nerd here, but it had that same concept, the Arab background, you know, and stuff like that. And even he was dressed up in full white, and it was a split personality of Tuxedo Mask whenever he was down for the count. So I was like, oh man, the comparisons are like totally similar besides, you know, there's no like roses and stuff like that.
Right. So. Well, roses, yeah. I mean, Steven's a bit of a romantic, so I mean, maybe he might see some roses soon.
I mean, he's a vegan that would eat steak for a woman. So
I mean, that's, you know, that's true.
That's even more than meatloaf would have done for love.
I'd love that he blames the steak for the stuff he's going through too. So you eat one steak and look
what steak and everything goes bonkers.
But we got to see him pouring out his heart to the mime again this week. The mime actually kind of looked at him this time too. He kind of like acknowledged him.
I can't help but wonder if the mime's in on it somehow.
I definitely think the mime is
going to pull his sleeve up and you're going to see the scales. It's like,
the bad guy.
No. Because the mime in the credits has a name that's from the comic books, Crawley.
Oh.
Now, I don't remember. I honestly don't remember what Crawley in the comics books, like what his character was or did. But I do remember the name, and I remember seeing in the credits going, huh, they actually gave that guy a name.
Maybe
and
he's a character of some sort, like a familiar.
Right. If he's credited, then he must have a bigger role than just sitting there on the edge of that fountain.
You would think.
Right.
But I have a feeling that he's going, I don't know if he'll talk, but I think he'll, you know, he'll have a larger
part. He knows more than we think he knows. Yeah,
something's going to happen, because the fact that that's two episodes in a row that he's poured his heart out to this guy, and he knows everything about Steven.
Or they just credited him because he's a total badass for holding that.
Right?
That's not CGI. That's actually him doing it.
That's legit. It's like, well done, sir.
Like, how many takes? Right?
This time he had to, you know.
Do you think Oscar Isaac would be trolling him? I was like, oh, can we do another take? I didn't feel that one. Oh, yeah, sure, Oscar. Take 47.
Oscar doing that. Cheeky monkey.
Yeah. So you mentioned Mark in the storage unit. He gets clever. He decides to go to all these different places where that storage unit could possibly be.
Steven's got kind of, I mean, he can be kind of smart.
That yeah. Was, you know. You got to wonder. See, my thing is, you know, like you said, Steven is a persona that came from somewhere, right? Somewhere in his subconscious. Because I think we might all agree that Mark is probably the primary, but he somehow has lost control.
Yeah.
Because Steven, and which I think is hilarious, because Steven is the weaker, but he's in control.
He's the waking self.
Yes. So
talking about multiple personality.
He right now. Yeah.
The weaker of the two.
And how did they
mention that too? Right. Cause Mark mentions at some point the person in control became stronger.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right near the end there. When Mark was in control. Mm-hmm. So
and Steven was looking out at him through
the reflection. Right. So that mean, and Mark said, so he doesn't know why. So what caused that? Cause at some point there was balance where Steven didn't know Mark existed and Mark didn't have to worry about Steven controlling the body.
Well,
inopportune times. Right.
But, God pronunciation of the Egyptian God, you said it, Utah, but they made when he made that promise and became basically possessed by him.
I think his name is Chiapet.
I was going to say Achu. Is that what? Bless you.
Conchu.
Yes.
But he brought up, he said, you promised that he wasn't going to be
a problem. Wasn't a problem. Right.
So he was a known thing.
Yeah. Right. So Steven must have, you're right. That's a good point. Steven must have predated Khonshu. And so is Khonshu the reason? Right. Is Khonshu the reason why Steven and Mark are now imbalanced and now somebody, it's tougher to wrest control from the other? We'll find that out in episode 5.
I think they hinted that in the comics, though, that might have been like a possibility that it made it more imbalanced with it.
Yeah, and
that was a theory.
Ethan Hawke's character, Harrow, he mentions that. Did he mention the last episode where he said, did Khonshu pick you because you were broken or did he break you? Mm-hmm. So lots of interesting little bits and pieces. Yeah.
We get a larger battle, a little bit of fight. Steven's got control for quite a lot of this episode again, gets kind of taken into the the behind the scenes, the nexus of Harrow, right? Mm-hmm. His cult there, and sees all these different people. They're learning three languages and speak to each other and teach each other languages.
That Mandarin was pretty questionable. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. But we've got to see a little bit more of kind of like what he's doing there. And the whole, you know, David Koresh thing that Ethan Hawke says that he's pulling from. I felt like I really felt that in this episode with the way the people like reacted and talked to him and stuff like that. What do you guys think about this? Did we learn anything new? Do you think about this cult? Is there something we can expect now from these people based on what we learned from this episode?
Yeah, they're all zealots, like no doubt. They would do anything for Harrow, clearly, but when he pulls out the staff or the cane and it starts glowing, everyone starts backing.
Oh yeah. They knew.
Yeah. It's like, no. It's like, we love you, Mr. Glass Slipper guy, but we are taking a step back from this because but he was
no jackals off, for me.
No. He was giving us off some pretty serious, James Bond villain vibes. And I really like that. You know,
can we give kudos to Ethan Hawke for his performance, especially in this episode? He was really
he ramped up.
Yeah, I mean, it was so understated, but so powerful what he was doing. I loved it.
He became like, I've always thought that the James Bond villains have just been like the quintessential villain. I mean, they're the gentleman villains that counteract the gentleman spot. You know, they don't think that they're wrong. They think that they are the heroes of their story, and they're polite. I mean, they always give James Bond some new clothes. They give him a meal. They give him good lodgings. James Bond is the dick all the time. You know, they're all very. The villains are the nicest people in the movie, and
right?
Ethan Hawke,
except for Goldfinger.
Well, but he was.
He expected him to die.
Yeah, but he still, you know, he made his expectations clear. Boundaries had been set. You know,
that's fair.
I think that he did everything that a good host does. You know,
Julep, all that, yeah.
All of it. I mean, come on. He's a great guy. But Ethan was channeling all that. And, you know, even when he did, you know, when he summoned that jackal, you know, he just kept his cool. He wasn't mad. He didn't flip out. He was just like, oh, here, let me go ahead and open up a portal through space time into a different dimension real quick. Let's just do that and see what comes out. And he just handled his shit. And I was just pretty impressed by Ethan. Cause at first, in the first episode, I'm like, all right, cult leader, I get it. Okay. Got it. Not a big deal. He felt secondary, you know, now he feels like
he's the head badass. Yeah.
Oh yeah. 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 No doubt.
And all that while having glass in his sandals.
Yeah. It's like what that's about. Does that cause him to focus or maintain a certain connection?
Is it like a masochist type of thing?
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't like symbolize penitence or humble.
Technically, that's a penance kind of thing.
Yeah. He's punishing himself in some way. What's
he punishing himself for?
Yeah, it's like when the monks flog themselves.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And I like this, the sound production is great because you could hear the little glass.
And when he kicked the ball, you could hear the glass in there.
I like that detail. Very nice.
Yeah. I'm calling him Cinderella from now on.
Yeah. Brings a whole new meaning to glass slipper. He's a different kind of villain than we've seen in a lot of these Marvel movies, though. Yeah. Not different in his motive. I mean, obviously, he's kind of like Thanos in that he thinks he's doing something right, right? But I think his personality is very different than anything we've seen before.
Because we've seen a lot of super criminals, you know? Mm-hmm. We've seen a lot of, you know, super criminals, but he's a villain. Mm-hmm. You know, this guy, you know, Harrow. Is it Harrow or Harrow?
I think it's Harrow.
Sure.
I don't know. Sure. Okay. Harrow?
It's very harrowing to think about, actually. But
sure. Hey,
but he's a villain, you know. And
Arthur, are you sure?
No. Yeah, oh, he's the villain that Ben Kingsley as the Mandarin. You know, even though it turned out to be a ruse, you know, he was still that. But even him, he was still very much a super criminal. You know, he was more criminal than he was like villain, you know, if that makes any sense. Right.
You know, I'm kind of reminded of David Tennant's role in Jessica Jones.
Oh,
Kilgrave, right?
It was so good. It was phenomenal.
Where he, you know, it's just he's just that calm, cold coolness that just kind of
he's the creepiest Marvel villain. Yeah. Definitely. In the MCU. Maybe in the comics too, but in the MCU, like
that was an amazing.
I mean, his power alone is enough to be just
100%
mind numbing.
Right. But the fact that he, you know, the way he played it was so unnerving because it was so low key compared to what his power was. And So I get I get that kind of vibes where, you know, like Tommy D said, it's the performance is so understated, and then it just kind of amplifies your fear of what he's going to do next because you just don't know.
Yeah. He's just so chill. He's an unexpected. He's a wild card.
You always got to watch out for the quiet ones.
Yeah.
You don't know. I mean, at any minute he can just snap and then just wreak havoc.
Yeah, but it also makes me really curious as to what happened to make him not be that avatar anymore.
Yeah.
Right. Because you mentioned he was Khonshu's avatar previously.
Yes.
And so
that's a new revelation.
Yeah. But also, Utah, you had made a comment.
I never comment.
Always commenting. Mark would have had to predate or something, or Stephen had to predate, or you had something, said something along those lines.
Right. Stephen was there before Khonshu.
Yes.
Right, which means that Mark wouldn't have been there. He wouldn't have been at the front.
Well,
no, he is. So take Khonshu out of the picture. Let's say that never happened. Mark Spector is a guy with multiple personalities, and one of those is Steven. And so at that, so Steven has been with him. Who knows? Since childhood, we don't know. But as ever since his consciousness split? I don't know medical. I don't know how this works, but
that is like one thing that we talking about dissociative identity disorder is like very touchy. Sure. Because it's not called split personalities or anything.
It used to be.
We gotta be, you know, careful about that. I would like study that for a long time because I got very curious. But anyways, that topic is still very interesting to me, like which one comes first. And I can't wrap my head around, maybe it's just, you know, like you said, Steven has always been there and then something triggered it to where he came to the front. But I just that concept. Yeah. And then even just, you know, what happened to Harrow to make him not be the avatar anymore? And then even Khonshu saying Khonshu, that he
was
a Khonshu.
You got me.
wanting to take Layla as.
Right. Yeah,
she was the second.
She's a badass. That's why
she
he
was. Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Well,
right.
Well, so if they're going off of the original comic book, Mark is the number one persona.
Yeah.
He's a Marine and he's a missionary. He was on the verge of death. And his girlfriend was the
Marlene.
Yeah, Marlene was the one that was excavating the crypt. Yeah. He ended up getting over there and he was on the verge of death, and basically Khonshu brought him back to life, made that pact. And everything. So if they're basing it off that, Mark is the original persona, is the original mindset, right. I guess, should I put it?
He's the primary. He's the guy.
Yes. And everyone else is these other personas that he has, whether it is multiple, like kind of touchy, like I said, multiple personality disorder in some way, shape, or form, or if it's like him creating these personas for protection purposes, you know, undercover or whatever. Or if it is basically side effect of him more so by making this pact. But it doesn't sound like that's the situation, because like I said, they did bring it up that Steven was an issue, and he promised Khonshu that he wasn't going to be an issue. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that kind of implies that Stephen was there before Khonshu came into the picture. Mm-hmm. How interesting would it be, though, if we saw Mark's side of the past two episodes?
Yeah.
Of him being trapped.
Mm. Of right. Well, if the last two episodes are primarily from Stephen's point of view, right? So when Mark takes over, Stephen blacks out and we don't see anything like that. Right. So what I would love to see it from the other side.
What he did in that truck and what
Mark, he did. Yeah, that's what Mark is doing. Mark
I would it would be interesting to see. Anyways, is this,
I mean, I can, he saved I can, a lot of money on stunts in that first episode by having a blackout. Right? The stunt guys are over there like, dude, man, I was supposed to get paid. Like,
oh, come on, really? Right. You just want me to lie down on the ground? Come on, man.
I can see them pulling like flashback type of situation like they did with Boba Fett to where we find out, like, see how he makes that pact and how he becomes possessed and the situation that led to that. Because that, unless if you know the comic book, that's still kind of like, not there. No one knows why.
Oh, so there's I think they're going to touch base on that. Definitely going to be flash. Episode four.
Mm-hmm. I want to touch a little bit on what Aaliyah was saying about dissociative identity disorder. I did read that they're trying to be very careful about not making this, you know, making it a joke, making it things like that. They do play it for humor occasionally because I'm sure. Sometimes even to people who have it, it's like, you know, kind of awkward, funny things happen. But they also show, like we said today, just the anguish that Stephen has. They really are showing that this is something that affects people very, very deeply. And it's not, you know what I mean? It's not this funny thing or this joke or this, I like that they're leaning into that a lot because even Oscar Isaac said in interviews, like at the end of the day, that's what the show is about.
Right.
It's about that struggle. There happens to be a guy in a suit or two guys in a suit.
Two different suits.
And moonerangs and crazy, you know, Egyptian.
They're not making light of
head things.
Yeah.
What's that?
They're not making light of anything.
No. But at the end of the day, he's like, that stuff's happening. But this is really about the struggle that Mark has with his, with his other, you know, other personas that live in his head.
And again, in the first episode, it was such, you know, at the restaurant, you know, that was
heartbreaking.
How
was heartbreaking.
Because you get all of that frustration, you know, all of that frustration and anxiety and, you know, the fear, the uncertainty, all of it. And then the loneliness, it just was all on his face. Like he had all of those emotions on his face simultaneously, just like that. And it was heavy. It was so heavy. And yeah, like I said, it was heartbreaking. And then, you know, he's just dealing with that. You know, he still has to go through the motions of life and he's dealing with that. And then like, oh no, wait a minute. We've got one more thing for you.
Oh, by the way,
you're possessed or you have weird godlike powers. And, here you go. Go have fun with that.
Yeah.
But I like that he had like, you know, his little hurrah moment of like, no, you know what? I can do this. Like, I'm going to. Mm-hmm.
He rolled up his sleeves. He was like,
let's go. And then he did the whole, little
quoted Ali. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah. And he got that shot.
Mark said, nice punch.
Yeah. Nice punch.
Even Mark had to
acknowledge.
So let's get into that because we're coming up on time. I want to get into that. The big fight, the action that all occurred at the end. You know,
Shish Kebab Jackal. Shish Kebab Jackal.
Steven, instead of giving Mark control, listen to Layla and summon the suit. That was the name of the episode, right? Mm-hmm. And we see in the comics they call it
Mr.
Midnight or Mr. Midnight or something.
Mr. Knight.
I thought it was Midnight.
No, Mr. Knight.
Okay. Well, anyway. We saw him and
Mr. Knight, if you're nasty.
Yeah. But it was neat to see Stephen get a little. It was cool to see Stephen get get a little bit, get a few licks in, you know what I mean? As Steven, ultimately, giving up, to Mark. But one of the things that I noticed about this the action sequence, and I wanted to see what you guys thought as well. And this is a common Marvel thing. Marvel tends to play up these tense moments with comedy, like the, you know, it'll be action and adventure. And then they throw in these, you know, quips and comedy and things, you know, and the comic books do some of that too, especially obviously Peter Parker never fights anyone without being sarcastic and quipping. Right. No. But I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm curious from you guys, do you think this is something that hurts Marvel's, you know, action scenes, that they're not as serious as they could be? Like the stakes aren't as high because we're laughing in the middle of it. Or do you think this, it makes it that much better? It actually kind of takes the pressure off a little bit.
There's some levity there, you know, I mean, but I think it's all about how it's paced. You know,
there's a lot of context.
Yeah. I mean, you can still feel the tension and you can have those moments where it helps us to connect more with the person who's struggling. You know, we're seeing they're human. You know what I mean? Even though if they've got, you know, these otherworldly powers and gifts, they're still human. And I think that a little bit of levity helps to break that tension. You know, otherwise it's just, you know, it's not necessary, but you can still be on the edge of your seat. Like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. You know, but a little bit of humor, you know, it does kind of lighten that load a little bit, you know, but I don't think it makes it any less thrilling, any less suspenseful, you know. And then, but like you said, Marvel's really good about giving you that little bit of humor. And then now we're going to continue to take you on this ride. And that's when Mark took over, got, you know, this beast out of the city away from, you know, the civilians.
That was nice of him.
Yeah, it was very nice of him. He's a good guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was Carla's idea. I'm kidding.
It was Carla's idea.
I'm going to call her Carla from now on now because that's just going to be my thing.
But now I also really wonder if that was his plan to kind of stay in the front seat and leave Steven, you know, kind of behind the mirror.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, I think ultimately that's his goal, right? He wants to be he's supposed to be the original. He wants to be in charge, but, how long will that last? Cause Lynn, again, we know that Steven's the weaker personality, but yet somehow he became the primary, like he took over. Like he's living a life, right? Yeah. Through all day. And then Mark, only when he goes to sleep, does Mark get a chance to actually do something.
Yeah.
And that's.
And usually it's the other way around. Usually the weaker waking self will create that stronger persona to help them get through, you know, through life's, you know, challenges. Very rarely will a strong persona, you know, create a weaker version of themselves, because why would you do that? What's, you know,
unless he's not weak.
Yeah.
Well, right.
That's a very, very good point. He's incredibly intelligent. We know that. He's probably a lot smarter than Mark. So maybe that's, you know, he needed some brains to go with his brawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be curious to see where we see how they explain the turnaround. Because again, you know, Mark did say at one point there was a wall separating them. And so somewhere along the line, either Mark had full control and went in terms of when he would let Steven have control, or they were just somehow leading two separate lives and they never, and Steven never noticed Mark at all.
Right.
But he had to have at some point, because he's chaining himself to a that there's something going on.
We enter the story where that wall's been broken. But before then, Mark's statement implied to me that there was a time where Mark and Steven had separate lives and they never crossed and there was never an issue. Like Steven would live his life, go to bed. Mark would do whatever his thing, and Steven didn't have any evidence or knowledge that, oh my gosh, what the hell did I do? And so
there was a connection. I don't know if it's worth even talking about, but it was fleeting, but I think it might be worth something. When he said, this is my mom's flat, and she said, oh, are you guys talking again?
Yeah. So we found out she's not.
So we know there's an actual mom.
There's an actual mom, because he's on the phone. He's talking to mom on the phone. Or leaving
for her. At least leaving messages.
Right. Yeah.
So I still want to know where Gus went.
I gotta wonder, since Layla has no idea who Steven is, I wonder if Mark's mom is like, who is this British guy that keeps calling me and leaving these messages? This is insane. Like, she thinks she's being pranked.
Yeah.
Right. And then again, who's sending him postcards?
I think Mark is sending.
Unless it's Mark doing it, right?
Wait, Mark, did I miss postcards? Wait, what happened?
First episode. Yeah.
He's hanging them up.
He had a.
And you can see him in the background too when they're talking. He keeps
saying, "I got your latest postcard, Mom. Thank you."
Yeah.
I mean, Steven with a V, by the way. Please don't hurt me.
Mm-hmm. Hiya.
Hello. Hello. Well,
tell me whatever you say. It reminds me of Frozen. Pip, pip, or what is that?
The
summer blowout.
Yeah. Okay. Right, the shopkeeper.
Yes.
It's must be a shopkeeper thing.
It's a shopkeeper thing. Yeah. Totally.
Clearly.
Oh my gosh, too funny. So definitely a lot more action, a lot more excitement this episode. I feel like they ratcheted it up a little bit. Kind of if they got you a little bit hooked, like, okay, I gotta see what this is. I think that they kind of drove home, like, yeah, we're gonna do some action here too. And that's what's to come. What do you guys, so Utah likes to predict what episode things are going to happen in. So Utah, what's going to happen in episode 3?
So what's going to happen in episode 3? Well, we're in Egypt, it looks like. I am curious as to if that's really Mark that was drinking and then is going up and because it's very obviously Steven in the mirror. I think it's obviously Steven in the mirror, but is that Mark, or is this going to be the quick introduction to yet another identity? I don't know. But I don't know what's going to happen in episode 3. There's going to be like sand and we'll see more Khonshu.
It gets everywhere.
I hate it.
I got to wonder though, where he's staying, that he has such a great view
of the pyramids, right?
Is that because I don't think that there's anything built that close to them, is it?
I think you're right. Like, I think the pyramids are pretty much in the desert, and then maybe. Like any hotel would be pretty.
Yeah,
pretty
it's like the Eiffel Tower in movies. Basically, in every movie that takes place in France, it doesn't matter where you're staying, you can see the Eiffel Tower.
You can always see the Eiffel Tower
window. Yeah.
You open your window, like reach out and touch the Eiffel Tower, and that is not the case at all. There's like
Or the Empire State Building is always in the window somewhere if they're in New York City. Cause
I mean, that was very much CGI. That was not like for real. Because I actually want to go to Egypt sometime, but the pyramids, I mean, you could probably still see them from the actual like city's edge.
But they would be this big.
But not that close.
But it wouldn't be that big and that close. Yeah.
I mean, we are talking about multiverse though. So I
did
mean,
did they travel back in time? Did he turn into Apocalypse and then went? What?
But that's my question though. Like in the very first episode, he ends up in this Swedish village look thing. But then he wakes up and he's in his bed and he's like, oh, it's just a dream.
It's like I dream a genie. It's like, bing, they're there.
And if he's flying, who's getting those frequent flyer miles? Is it Steven or
is it Steven or Mark, right? Yeah. It can't be Mark because Mark's passport was in that storage locker.
Right. So at least Steven's racking up those frequent flyer miles, man.
Does Steven even have a passport?
Oh, I mean, I hope so. No,
they took away his name tag, so we don't know who he is now.
His name might be spelled with a PH now.
There's already a Steven with a PH in the MCU. We can't have another one.
That's true. Too funny. Oh my gosh.
That would just be strange.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I was going to say thanks. I was going for mine, but you got
me. I got you.
Appreciate it. All right. Well, guys, this has been great. I mean, I think it's a good conversation. I love hearing everybody's point of view. It's very interesting. I love that Jamie came right out of the gate telling us that Steven was a wet blanket. I love that because, I mean,
I think that's his whole purpose too. So
we all just sat here and said how great it was over and over again. We'd never get anywhere, right?
But you notice we never said Steven was great. So yet again, Steven is the wet blanket wallflower that we totally ignored.
Also, I bond with Steven, even though he's a little annoying.
Yeah. I like Steven. Steven's our Dobby. I thought he was fun.
He's the Dobby of the MCU.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Mark gives him a sock, they'll split.
Have you noticed? I don't think Stephen was wearing any socks.
He'll be free. He'll be free.
Or maybe
he was barefoot because he steps over the sand.
No, it's got to be like one of Khonshu's bandages or something like that. Like he's got to, like someone has to freely give him a Khonshu bandage.
Well, I mean, right? Yeah, because I mean, he's technically, the
master, technically, right?
Technically, Khonshu is the master. So yeah, I mean, that makes perfect sense.
And can I just say how epic Khonshu looks? Like
Khonshu looks fantastic.
I love the design, the
production,
on him.
The production design on this show. Khonshu looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. I loved that whole like motion light thing going down the hallway in the storage units.
Oh my gosh, that was so well done. Yeah,
I mean that was so great.
And that's supposed to be a crane, genius. A crane or a hawk? Like in the statue, he almost looks like a hawk or something like that.
Maybe a falcon or something.
Yeah, some kind of bird, like a really creepy raven or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Reminds me of like the Harbinger of Death or something.
Which he kind of is.
It's cool when they do that lighting effect because then you don't have to animate him walking down the entire hallway. You can just animate him like for a couple of frames.
That was the best part was like every so often he'd show up. And then like the last second there he is right behind.
The production, they're saving so much money. They're so smart about this stuff.
And the Moon Knight suit, the actual Moon Knight suit, not the dapper Moon Knight suit. The actual Moon Knight suit is just so freaking cool. Every time it comes out, it's just so great.
My son's like, oh, that would be a badass cosplay.
Right? No, I think I think this year we're going to see a lot of both Moon Knights in terms of cosplay because they're both fantastic.
Oh, the dapper one for sure.
That's, yeah, Mr. Knight is such a simple to one together. Too, right?
Yeah, and you can already buy the stuff. There's already, I've seen the masks.
Oh, really?
Etsy. Yeah. There's already someone that put together a full like Moon Knight cosplay.
Wow.
It's
for
a little
Logan. Well, it's a little. I saw for a little boy for Logan, and he was actually on the red carpet, and Isaac actually came up and like did a photo with him and stuff like that. Oh, like he really loved it. So it was really cute. Yeah. So.
Well, you know, I don't know if you guys have seen Night Mage. This Night Mage's Moon Knight is pretty amazing. Night
Yeah, he did an OG.
It's based on the comic. Yeah,
he did an OG Moon Knight. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here I'm going to share.
And Night Mage is just gigantic.
Well, Night Mage is
mountain of a man. So when he's in that form fitting Night,
when he's in that spandex. Oof.
He's got that moon. That moon booty is just killing it. I'm just saying, he'll tell you what
he changes the definition of Moon Knight, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, look, Jamie couldn't handle it.
The
Night Mage mooning the actual moon.
Jamie couldn't handle
what happened.
I don't know what happened.
We started talking about that booty, and you just like blipped out.
Yeah.
Oh,
there you go.
Yeah.
Already,
here's somebody doing the. You know, I don't know when, what is that date? I don't have my glasses on. But yeah, there's Moon Knight in center at this 10 best Moon Knight cosplay.
Yeah, look at look at how just freaking monstrous that man is.
Yeah.
And he's such a nice guy too.
Oh my gosh.
He's such a fantastic guy. So nice, so humble, you know, great guy.
I'm going to ask him to come. I don't know what he's doing on Wednesdays. A lot of times he's working because obviously he has a regular job too.
He has a job.
But
what's that?
To do all this stuff. But we should bring him on.
Talk
about this show. I'll try to get him on the Shawarma Shack. We'll see.
Yeah, 100%.
Come join us.
Just tell him the shawarma.
But this is going to do
false advertising
for this week's. Yeah,
that's the only reason I ever show up, and there's never any. So
there's never any shawarma.
Yeah, it's BYOS at the Shawarma Shack.
Bring your own shawarma.
I'll get some next time.
I need to purposely get some now whenever I go into town and just be like slurping it in front of you guys. Be like, what?
You had some last week. Someplace could probably Uber Eats it here. I'm going to find out.
Just DoorDash it from Aladdin's, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't need to go anywhere.
Utah, is that your kitty that's like going bananas?
Going back.
Yeah, that's
cat. It's your cat.
Do you have a Maine Coon? Is he a Maine Coon?
No, because he's like this big.
Oh, okay.
But he definitely has all the markings. He's like a minute. Is there such a thing as a miniature Maine Coon? Because that's kind of what he is.
Norwegian forest cat. I think they're a little bit smaller.
I had never heard of that before.
I just heard him in the background. He's very talkative.
He's got a lot to say about Moon Knight. That's for sure.
He's trying to, right? He's trying to turn into Moon Knight. And
the cats are supposed to be connected with the underworld and the Egyptian beliefs. That's for sure.
Yep.
They worship cats. They did.
They sure did. So that's why he's
the Mummy 101, guys. Come on.
There he is.
We need a special guest appearance by Brendan Fraser. That's what.
Yes.
Oh my gosh!
There we go.
Yes.
We need to bring Brendan on as like a cameo. Just have him like walking through the museum or something, or I mean anything. They just need to bring Brendan back,
or Ben Stiller.
For the
night at the museum, right? Because Khonshu was mentioned in that movie.
Yes,
at least in the first one.
Owen Wilson is already in the MCU, so maybe a variant thing will happen.
Who?
Oh my gosh.
Owen Wilson.
Oh.
And Loki. Okay,
yeah, yeah.
He was the cowboy in the Night at the Museum. Yep.
That's right.
And now,
all this crossover.
Right? Well, anyway, we're off to a good start with this show. It's really good so far. I want to make sure that you guys come back and see us next week, 9:15. We are here every Wednesday for the next. We got four more episodes. So there'll be four more episodes of this show as well. And then we'll pick back up with Ms. Marvel. But thank you to my guests. Let's go around the circle and find out where they can find you and what you're doing. Jamie, we'll start with you.
I am Mando Girl on TikTok. So.
Blowing up.
Blowing up on TikTok.
Okay, guys. Every time.
And you are blowing up on TikTok. How many tens of thousands of followers do you have? In the 60s, right? 70s, 80s. I haven't been on TikTok for a while.
I follow you.
20 some thousand.
Look at that. That's a small town.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You can fill a stadium with your followers.
That's like Fort Wayne, Indiana.
I have six on my TikTok. I have six. I could fill my bathroom with my followers. I can't.
World Gun Geek has 700 and something, but I haven't done a TikTok in like months, so I got to get back on that. Tommy, tell the audience where you can be found and what you're doing.
I have no identity of my own, so just Circle of Nerds on all platforms. You can check out the Cosmic Disaster Show, which is coming back. So if you have a chance, check out what we're calling Classic Cosmic Disaster. You can find that on your favorite podcasting platform and on YouTube. We've also got the Krusty Cantina every Friday night. You could live chat with us while that is going on. And we've got a few other shows that are in the works that are going to be coming out this summer. We're going to be taking a little hiatus after the Krusty Cantina wraps. And then we're going to be back with the Cosmic Disaster Show. I'm going brain dead. We've also got a very cool miniature painting show called It's So Tiny. And it's got our very own Daddy Louie. And he's going to be teaching you how to paint miniatures from the most very basic techniques up to the masterworks. So you don't want to miss out on that if you're even curious about doing things like that. So we're all over the place. CircleOfNerds.com, Circle of Nerds on all social media platforms. Come check us out, please. Thank you.
Yes, awesome. Check them out.
Aaliyah, what are you up to?
Stop looking at yourself.
What are you doing?
Stop looking at yourself.
She's mesmerized by herself. Or stop
looking at whatever you were looking at because you look like you just got caught.
I was
busted.
First of all, I was looking at you. Oh my God.
What's up with that?
She hates the big putting on the big screen, so that's why I do it.
No, and then it doesn't help that I made my screen even like I made my screen full screen, so all I see is me and it's
there
just
you go.
She can't take her eyes off herself.
Aaliyah is working. That's what Aaliyah is doing. I have some things that I want to start, but nothing yet.
Well,
getting over that hump of fear, but we're getting there.
You'll get there.
I hear you're on a pretty cool show though on Sunday nights that should tell people about.
Are you in like any cool podcasts?
I didn't know. I'm anything? Like,
I'm putting you on the spot. I know.
Everybody knows that I'm a part of World Gun Geek, so I don't know.
Do they though?
Am I?
Do they though?
You've got two people watching the Pharma Shack.
We do. between everyone that I have told about at church and just random people at a grocery store that just happened to listen to me.
I think I saw that on the news.
I got to get you, crazy I gotta woman get you some of these. Where's my camera at? I can't even tell.
There you go. I gotta right get there. You
some of these, Aaliyah.
Cards. So yes,
hand
please.
Them out to folks.
With yes, our that would be great. Yeah. And Tommy, give me some.
Put those stickers on park. Because put those stickers on cars and parking lots.
I still have the Circle of Nerds sticker on my laptop that I'm currently using. So anywhere that I am at, everyone sees.
Show us.
Can you show us?
Are you guys kidding me? I am on my laptop right now. It is on the lid of my.
What does it say about that we both went there?
Right.
I can't.
We've been friends for way too long.
We share a couple brain cells, I think.
But Aaliyah, you kind of like for a second you were about to do it. You're like, oh wait, let me.
Because you know what, I
you guys,
it's on the cap. It's on my laptop cover, so I technically could show it, but I'm not going there. So
okay. All right.
Okay, Utah, sure. What's going on with you? What's up? Where are you? Where can we find you?
I'm here in the attic. You can find me up in my attic. With my friend Richard over here. Otherwise, you can listen to me do a podcast with two very wonderful, intelligent, funny people every Sunday.
Who are they?
Right? I know. Not you guys. There are two other people. I do another podcast. But a part of World Gone Geek, we do a podcast every Sunday night. Jeff, I'm sure you could pontificate a little bit more about that.
Well, yeah, actually we have a show this Sunday where having Bella Maori will be on That's the right. show this week, episode 23 of our season 2. She's a writer, actress, model, and filmmaker, and she's going to be telling us all about that, and that'll be a lot of fun. So join us 7 p.m. Sunday night. And we've got a couple of new things coming as well. So just go to worldgonegeek.com.
New and website. You
can see all of our stuff. Yeah, our brand new website. Very excited about it. So go check that out. You can even leave us messages there. In fact, I'm going to do it. If you go and You're leave us leave a message. Message? Yeah. So on Sunday, we sometimes we give away movies. And right now we're giving away Scream. I'm also giving away The Contractor, which is a new Chris Pine movie, action film. It's pretty good. So we're giving away digital copies of those. So if you go to our website, click the little chat icon down on the bottom, you can record a message. And right now the challenge is to give us the three rules of surviving a horror movie from Randy Meeks in the first Scream movie. If you give me that, you're in the running. For a official Blu-ray copy of the new Scream
Actual
movie,
disc.
We'll get that sent to you. Go tell me the three, and then by Sunday we're gonna draw that and give it away to somebody. So maybe a couple because we've got a few. So
has to be all three rules. Don't skimp out and give us just one. Give us all three.
That's right. But that's going to do it for the Shawarma Shack. Let's bring, so the crowd is back in here eating the food.
Oh my gosh.
thank you so much for watching or listening. If you're on our podcast right now, we will see you guys next time. Bye, everybody.
86 the chicken. 86 the chicken.
I am waving.
This has been a World Gone Geek production. For updates and sneak peeks, don't forget to get sociable. Follow World Gone Geek on Twitter, like our Facebook page, join the Facebook group, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Find World Gone Geek podcasts on your favorite podcast apps. This has been a World Gone Geek production. For updates and sneak peeks, don't forget to get sociable. Follow World Gone Geek on Twitter, like our Facebook page, join the Facebook group, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Find World Gone Geek podcasts on your favorite podcast apps.